Now, yesterday we completed the Gemara Ayin Vav, and one of the issues I wanted to look at one. I'll formulate this question differently, since a number of you have asked me the question. Some of you have seen the Rambam, and some of you know that the Rambam paskins what? The Gabe Nesina. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. And if the Nesina is an Issa D'Rabbanan, it sounds like he's paskining like the Lishnakam of Rava. And the Rambam assumes that, not in the Rambam that I gave you, but if you that there's an Isser Lav, living with a Goya, Derech Chasnus. So the question is, where did the Rambam, it's very nice that the Rambam liked, for whatever reason, Rava's first Svara, but Rava rejected it. So the question is, where did the Rambam come off Paskini like the first Lashon of Rava? And some of you might have noticed, the Tosis quotes, why don't you just move, if you move that down just because I'm afraid somebody's going to try to come in. It's done. Or if you want to move behind, it's fine. Also, just not in front. Some of you might say that the Rambam is paskening like the Yushalmi, which is very nice, except that I don't think the Rambam ever paskens like the Yushalmi against the Babli. I think this is a very heated issue. There are those who claim that there are few places the Rambam follows the Yushalmi and the Babli. I don't actually believe that that's the case. I think that every case that it looks like the Rambam might be paskening like the Yerushalmi, if you actually look, there's either another girs in the Babli, there's another sugi in the Babli that operates differently than the assumption. I haven't studied the issue totally systematically, but I'm not yet convinced that the Rambam ever actually ignores the Babli in favor of the Yerushalmi. Particularly because if you read lack of real evidence, and B, when you read the Rambam's Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah, so he makes it very clear what he sees as the authority of the Babli, and by that token, there's no basis in which he would ever paskin against the Babli in favor of another source. Now, you could say the Rambam ignored his program there, whatever else, but I'm a little bit skeptical of that claim. Yes, Dovi?
The Magid Mishnah says that he paskins like Dafai and Chet and not Dafai and Chet, meaning that there are two different...
So Dovi here has already identified, I didn't see the Magid Mishnah, already identified a methodology by which you deal with the problem. The Rambam is finding another sugya in the Babli that the Rambam is paskening like, so he has identified Daf Ayin Ches, whose reading is not entirely clear, but certainly the simple reading, but we're going to talk about that today, would seem to point in favor of Rashi. I wanted to, Dan, I'll take a question in a second. I wanted to just highlight something in the Braisa itself on Ayin Vav, which makes Rava's changing his mind very hard to understand. And unless I'm missing something, the Braisa itself is very difficult to read according to the Lishna Basra. It makes so much more sense if you read it like Rava's initial assumption. I'll explain why in a moment. And really, it's not so much Rava's reading of Losis Chatein Bam, but actually the din that's implied by the Braisa. Now, I know that I'm doing things a little bit backwards here, because Rava responds to the Braisa. Rava chooses to interpret the Braisa based upon a different set of facts, namely Losis Chatein Bam, and he has two different readings of Losis Chatein Bam. First reading is that that's Giyusan, which I apologize, I didn't realize it's not a term that the Gemara, it's a term the Gemara doesn't use.
It's a Yalav.
No, I don't mean the word, but in other words, that's not a word, the Gemara doesn't, in Yalav and Subas, about her eating the Kanas B'Giyusa. Right. I don't know which one of the Bishonim. I didn't come up with the terminology, but a couple of you asked me about this. I thought it was the Gemara, it's not. But the Bishonim, some of them use the term Begiusan and Megerusan. So I think that the Rava starts with Losis Chatein Bam to work backwards to decide how to relate to the issue of Nesina. But I think that the Braisa of Nesina itself, it's almost machriach that Rava's first interpretation is the correct interpretation. In other words, the Braisa itself would suggest that you have to read Losis Chatein Bam like the Lishna Kam of Rava, that it's not an Issa D'Oraisa once they convert. It has to be Bigiusan. I'll explain. And anybody want to sort of take a stab at that? Some of you, a couple of you spoke about this in Seder, Daniel, I think it was you, and Eli. Did anybody think, I want to go back and look at that Braisa for a moment. What was the Gemara Shaila? After this, we'll go on to the second sugya about this. What was the Gemara Shaila? What's the din of a Ptsuadaka who's a Kohen? So what does the shayla really depend upon? A kohen is normally not allowed to marry a giyores or a mishachar. The question is, now he's a tzuadaka. If he be Yisrael, he's also lava bakal. As a kohen, he's also aser lava bakal. So the question is, though, a kohen himself would find himself in an impossible position if he were tzuadaka, because there's no one. A kohen tzuadaka would be able to marry nobody. He can't marry a bas levi or bas Yisrael or bas kohen because they're kohal. If he can't marry if he's still considered kosher, just that he's a tzedaka, can't marry a halala, can't marry a nesina, can't marry a mamzeret, can't marry a giores, a shivcha, mishachreres, and then forget certainly nasan mamzer and the safek of mamzerim. So really, he would be stuck between a rock and a hard place. But the Gemara wants to know what's the status of that kohen. So the Gemara's attempted raya that the kohen is not bikdushaso kaime in terms of yuchsin was from a brisa that stated that a Ptsuadaka is allowed to marry a Ptsuadaka Yisrael, and that's important. The brisa's formulation, Ptsuadaka Yisrael, is allowed to marry an Asina. And what the Gemara thought it was a proof, how? That if Ptsuadaka Yisrael is allowed to marry an Asina, who's Vichutz Lamachaneh, whom he couldn't marry until now, it means his yuchsin were nefsalim. So Yisrael, a regular Yisrael Ptsuadaka, the way we paskin, certainly should be able to marry a giyores and a meshuchreres, that wouldn't be a problem. The fact that he can marry an asina suggests that he's nefsal, really his yuchsin status, it's not just he has yisurim now, love of marrying by kahal, but he is actually now allowed to marry outside the kahal, really, really outside the kahal. In fact, Sam, are you still holding your marker? Where's Sam?
Yes.
Let me just, it's helpful to keep in your head the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of, thank you, the fourth parak of Kiddushin. Anyone know what the Asar Yuchsin are? That's good. Lion, is that you?
Sorry.
Is that you talking? Go ahead.
I saw it today.
Halala is next. I should have made this, hold on. I got to start up here. I want to be on one line. Kohane. Levi'e, Yisra'ele, Halale. No, hold on, Halale. Then, Geire. These two might be backwards, but it doesn't matter. Harure. What? This doesn't matter, right? Then, Mamzere, Nisine, Shtuki, which is a kind of a Suffolk Mamzer, and a Sufi. I don't want to talk about them right now, but the Mishnah brackets the following. Okay? They can marry, they can intermarry. I'll call it intramarry. They can intramarry. Then, they can intramarry. Then the way we paskin, these can intermarry. Okay, in other words, you have to be, in order to marry someone, you have to have a pair of brackets that you're sharing with them. Okay, that's the rule. So, a Ptsuadaka, who was Yisrael, okay, until now, the only people that he could marry were Kohane, Levei, Halalei, Geilei, and Chavurei. When the Ptsuadaka becomes a Ptsuadaka, Yisrael, so these two are out for him. He can't marry Kohane, Levei, or Yisrael. He's left with Halalei, Geilei, and Chavurei. And that's fine. Can a Ger marry a Mamzeres? Well, according to this, yes. There is a Machlokas in the Tosefta of Kiddushin, and it's quoted a number of times in the fourth parak in Kiddushin, whether Kahal Gerim Ikri Kahal, and the question is, can a ger or a Meshuchar marry a Manzeres, and vice versa? And we paskin like Rabbi Yose that yes, he can. Rabbi Yehuda says no. So the Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Yose, right, that a ger is allowed to marry a Manzeres. Fine. So Yisrael, we understand, to marry Halalei Gerei and Harurei. But what about a Kohen who's Nifsal? Well, a Kohen's options were highly limited in the first place to Levi Yisraeli and Kohane and Bas Kohen. And now when he becomes a Ptsuadaka, what happened to his three choices? They're all gone. That's really what the Gemara's question should not have been, can a Ptsuadaka marry a Mishochreres or a Giores? What should the question have been? Can a Ptsuadaka marry? Okay? So, and there is no female equivalent to Ptsuadaka. There is an issue of physical sirus, we would call it castrating, but of actually physically damaging, changing, you know, the reproductive organs of a woman. There is an issue of sirus, biodayim, as opposed to chemical sirus, which there may not be an issue. But there is no halachic equivalent of tzodak or koshacha by a woman, you know, of that category of yichus. Thus, the question is, can a kohen who's a tzodaka marry? That's really the question. Now, if you think about it, when the Braisa says that a tzodaka Yisrael is allowed to marry a nesina, okay, there are two odd things about, and what did the Gemara want to prove from this? It wanted to prove that tzodakahood destroys your kedushas yichus, and therefore it allows you to marry, it passels you from your status, and therefore as a Yisrael, for example, you can marry psulei kahal, like a nesina. So let me ask you a question. Okay. Number one, I was going to go to the other question. Why does the Braisa say that a Ptsuadach Yisrael Mutter ben Nesina and not mention Mamzeres? They always go together. As you know, Rashi, in order to defend his own Shita, the Nesina is the Rabbanon, they're going to say Nasan and Mamzer always go together. Like Rush and Chalutza go together by Kohen, even though we Paskin Chalutza is only the Rabbanon, not like Rabbi Akiva. So too, Nasan and Mamzer always go together. So why isn't Mamzer? Why isn't Mamzer in this Braisa? Number one. Number two, if in fact a Ptsuadaka loses his Kedusha, and a Kohen therefore can marry a Shifcha Meshuchreres and a Gioras, who else can a Kohen Ptsuadaka marry? He can marry a Mamzeres and he can marry a Nesina. If a Yisrael is allowed to marry a Mamzeres and a Nesina when he's a Ptsuadaka, so can a Kohen, and because he has lost his Kedusha, so can a Kohen. So why does the Braisa only say that Ptsuadaka Yisrael is Mutter bin Nesina? And as for Nagar's question, why doesn't it say Mutter bin Nesina umamzeres? So, Bishlama, Benny, what you're saying?
Isn't it a question on the Mishnah itself?
What do you mean?
The Mishnah says,
Suadagi Mutter Shalom,
Tarn
Gidiris, and Shuleris. Did you read the end of the Gemara? You did, but you didn't assimilate it. I didn't either the first time, but when Daniel and Eli were talking to me in Shir, I finally assimilated what the Gemara was actually doing at then with the Mishnah. So the short answer to your question is the Mishnah is not coming to tell you Gioris Meshachreres. First, it didn't say Nosin and not mention Mamzer. It told you Gioris and Meshachreres, but not Kahal. It's not telling you everything, it's not telling you what the status of Gioris. That's what the Gemara remembered made two different Diyukim. I didn't assimilate it when I first read it either. I glossed over it quickly. I didn't think about the end of the Gemara, but that's really what the Gemara is doing. It's addressing exactly your issue. So now I want to go back to the Braisa. Why does the Braisa leave out Mamzeres? And why does the Braisa say Psuadaki Yisrael? If the Maskana, if in fact Rabba's Lishna Basra is correct, that really a Kohen Psuadaka is Nifsal Mikdushas Kahuna and therefore is allowed to marry Shivcha, a Mishachreres, a Gioras, and she should also certainly can marry a Chalala, and should be able to marry also a Nesina and a Mamzeres if a Yisrael can. Right? That's what you would expect. So why is only Ptsuadat
Yeah?
What?
Be able to marry a Chalala?
Why not? If he can marry a Zona, why can't he marry a Chalala? Shechreres and a Gioras are Zonos.
Because a Yisrael Ptsuadat can't marry a Chalala.
Fine. Take halala out for the moment. You got it backwards. A halala can't marry a ptsuadaka. You're right. You have to see it the other way. The issur is not, it's not an issur kahuna. It's an issur ptsuadaka. Yeah, okay. You're correct. I was thinking it means kahuna, but you are correct. Fine. So if a kohen can marry, in other words, if a Yisrael can marry, if a Yisrael ptsuadaka can marry a Nesina and a Mamzeres, and he can marry also presumably a Meshachreres and a Gioras because they're not considered Kahal. Right? If we paskin like Rabbi Yosef, that Kal Gerim Relikri Kahal, so Ptuadaka can marry them. But if that's the case, a Kohen Ptuadaka should be able to marry that whole slate as well. So why would the Braisa only say Ptuadaka Yisrael? Now, if you say like Lishna Kam of Rabba, then the entire picture changes. Then everything makes sense. You know why? Well, remember, what is the issue with a Kohen marrying a Nesina generally? There are two issues. Issue number one is the Isser of Nesina that applies not only to a Kohen but to Yisrael as well. Issue number two is Gioris. And I don't want to get into this question, how many generations down, but let's assume for the moment that a Nusin, the Sina still have a Shame Gairis, for whatever the reason is, without going into the details. The first generation, certainly, but maybe even subsequent generations, depending on what Shita you hold, and I don't want to go into that right now, but let's assume for the moment that the problem, there is an additional problem by Nusina of Gioris. Now, the issue, what issue is Rava debating? Rav is debating the issue of the first one, namely, is the Isser Nesina to Yisrael and a Kohen, is that the Rabbanon or the Raisa? For Lishnakam, it's the Rabbanon, Lishnabasar, it's the Raisa. However, the Gioris question, for a regular Kohen who's not a Psuadanka, that's Pashut, that's an Isser Daraisa for a Kohen. That aspect of Nesina, to the extent that it's there, that she's a Gioris also, that she's disqualifying a Kohen, not because of being a Nesina, but because of being a Gioris. So when you think about it, give me one second, when you think about it, if you say that the Isser of Nesina to Yisrael and to a Levi and then sends to a Kohen is Exerim in the Rabbanon against Nesina, so then the Brais of Tzuadaka makes perfect sense. Why? The reason why Tzuadaka Yisrael is allowed to marry Nesina is not because he's lost his Kedusha Sichos, it's because the only Isser in the first place of Yisrael marrying Nesina was Exerim in the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon did not want to be so machmir on a Tzuadaka because his options for marriage were already limited. So they were matir, they're Exerim in the Rabbanon of Nesina. That's why the Tzuadaka Yisrael is not mutter in whom? Mamzeris, because Mamzeris is an Issa Daraisa, and he's really Bikdu Shasei Koi, number one. Number two, why is a Koi not mentioned in the Braisa? Because the Nesina mitzad the Xerim the Rabbanon would have been Mutter perhaps to the Koi, but the Nesina has a second element, which is Daraisa, by a Koi, not by Yisrael, which is that that she is a Gioris. And that, since Bikdu Shasei Koi, the Koi is Bikdu Shasei, the Yisrael is Bikdu Shasei, that's why Yisrael, Tzuadaka, can't marry Nesina. Not because the Issa Nesina, because he is served Gioris. So Rava's Lishnakama really seems to me to be a much, much better reading of the Braisa. Why Rava was so compelled to change his mind, and we'll talk about that more later, maybe not today, but certainly tomorrow when we get the Tosos. So it's not clear to me. I didn't.
So why is Kohen Tzuadaka then allowed to marry a Gioris and a...
He's not, unless you paskin that he's not Bikdu Shasei Koi anymore, like Rava's Lishnabasa.
So you paskin that he can't marry at all, then?
If according to Rava's Lishnakama, which again, Rava's Lishnakama does not, here's the irony, Rava's Lishnakama doesn't prove that a Kohen is Bikdu Shasei Koi. He simply docha the raya that he's not Bikdu Shasei Koi. But I think that when you look at the Braisa, once you're medayik from the Braisa, it really sounds like a Tzuadaka is Bikdu Shasei Koi. And that's why Yisrael can't marry Mamzeris, and that's why by implication, and why a Kohen, Tzuadaka by implication, can't marry an Asina. But if in fact that is correct, then yes, Kohen Tzuadaka is stuck.
I guess there's a follow-up question. In terms of the flow of the Gemara, it told us also that maybe the Yerushalmi is going by the Lishnakama and Rava.
Yeah.
Nothing in the Gemara suggests that the Lishnakama is redeemable. Rava rejects it, and every kasha on Rava is rejected, and there's no, like, is it a...
Well, Rava rejected based upon his own svara, and maybe someone... And by the way, the basis of disagreeing with it, you know, if it were just my ideas in reading it, Rabbeinu Tam could beat me any day. But Rabbeinu Tam was such a bucky that he asked kasha, which may prove his undoing. Which will show you that, yeah, Rava, for some reason here, didn't think that the first optional Sashatemim was viable, but maybe it's perfectly viable. Well, right, correct. Don't spill my beans yet, please. Yes. Okay. Well, eventually we're going to get touched upon the Gemara in that third parak Kedushin. Remember that every time a Rishon raises a Kasha, even Derech Agam, and deflects it and tells you why it's not a Raya against the Shita, realize that the other side is going to turn around and say, no, that is exactly a Raya for my Shita. And that's the crucial point to remember here. We're going to come back to that. Eli?
Okay. The prohibition on Netina, is it only first generational, or do they exist?
Right now, let's assume, again, the Lamaisa, it goes down the generations.
So
the question is, if you hold it's the Rabbanon, it's always the Rabbanon. If you hold it's the Raisa, so that's a machlokes, whether it's only first generation or subsequent. But the Isser itself, whatever level it's on, is Ladoros.
So say it was to write every generation in a situation like that where maybe, let's say, one Netina's father converted. And then after a couple of generations where they're not considered getting anymore, but nitinah, what would be the situation?
So I would tell you that nitinim are always considered gerim because they're always marrying within themselves. Remember the Gemara says that yishtakeya shem geris shem of the kochavim yanu, it will never be mishtakeya. Normally gerim marry into the kahal. They marry Yisrael and they marry Levium, Levios, Bas Yisrael. And within two generations, nobody even knows. Right? But Nisinim, because they're kept as a separate group, it will never be Mishtakei Hashem Geru Semen.
Right, okay, got it.
Yes, Daniel.
Question, if the Lav and the Kohanim, that's a Deoraita, that they're not allowed, that they're strictly allowed to marry within the Kahal of Hashem,
right,
shouldn't that now cancel out, even on a Deoraita level, because if he's a... If his testicles have been damaged, then that within itself has canceled him.
So well, so but that's exactly the question. You're saying that once he's banned from coming into the kol, he must be outside the kol.
Yeah.
But that's exactly the Gemara's question. In other words, the ban. I would explain to you just in general, learning Yochsen. By the way, I don't want to apologize, but I realized, and I should have known this. I told you there are three topics in this perek that we deal with. There's actually two topics. There's actually a third major topic, which we're hitting now, and we're going to hit on next daf. And I should have I just didn't know why it didn't occur to me to describe this. We're going to be doing Yuchsin. There's all, it's low, I mean, the next daf and a half is just loaded with this stuff, so it's really an introduction to Evan HaEzer, basically. It's not a reason to complain. But I'm now going to give you a yesod, a basic yesod in Evan HaEzer. A man, once he is born with a certain status, that status never changes. His yichus never ever changes after his birth. In a sense, even though that's not the only reason why the Gemara is saying it, the first Mishnah in Makos, right, that says that if two Edom come and say, Hareinu midim eploni shu ben grusho ben chalutza, so we don't say they become a ben grusho ben chalutza, but rather we give them Malkos, right? That's one of the Edom's own cases where you can't do kasher zamam, you have to give them Malkos, which we're going to also deal with that in our parak. So that the Gemara gives a reason there, if I recall, that you don't do basisem lo v'lolov no. And if you were to make him a halal, then his children become halal. But the truth is, it's a nice drasha, but in terms of the basic premises of Yuchsin, the reason you can't do that is because you can't change a person once they're born. A woman can change to a certain extent, meaning she can become nischalala, but her fundamental yichus won't change either. In other words, Daniel's question and my slip up before about a kohen psudaka cannot marry a halala, or better said, a halala can't marry him. A halala is bikal Yisrael. A halala is just nischal mikdushas kahuna. But that's the only status that a woman's that can change. If she is still bikal, in other words, a woman who's a halala cannot marry a psudaka because she's still kal Hashem. That's the only aspect that can change it, only in a woman. But other than that, if you take that out, leaving out the halala aspect here. Once anybody, man or woman, is born in a category, that never changes. What's that? Correct. Evet's not here. But what happens when an Evet is Meshuchwar, remember that an Evet is Meshuchwar is like a Goyshin Iskayer. It's like a Gershin Iskayer. Right? In other words, the only difference is a Goy had Chayis before. He had relatives before when he wasn't Jewish, and those bonds are cut. Whereas a Ger has no relatives at all. A ger midin Torah is mutar b'imo even. That's why I would say that it's so much. You could quibble with my raya from Makos for whatever reasons, but bottom line is that yuchsin does not change a person's core yichus. That's why the Gemara's. What?
Sorry? Do you want to bring a raya to that idea from Makos?
No, I changed my mind, but I'm not going to explain why. I'm not bringing a raya. I'm just suggesting what's underlying the Gemara. That's all I meant.
And that's not
a raya, but my the concept from the Mishnah, not from the Gemara's Peirush.
Where's the concept from?
What concept?
The concept that you're saying that can't change once you're born.
You want to know what the makor for that is?
Is there a makor for it?
Not that I know of. It's just the fact. Then scan chas on these topics.
Then we can use makor as proof against that idea. And that proof.
So I could actually.
They have a different reason than that.
I understand that, but when they give a certain kinds of reasons, we can discuss. We'll discuss this outside. There are multiple reasons why it's not going to be a raya against me.
You're saying this is a fact that you know about you.
If I wanted to turn around, you will find no such example. That's an exception to this. It doesn't change. This is in effect exactly the crux of the question on some level. I would add to you, if I want to play games with you, I'll tell you, yeah, that is the makar. The fact that drasha there is the makor that you never change someone's yichus. Anyway, we'll have a longer discussion about this, not now. Zach, you're waiting patiently.
Do you think that maybe the way you just explained how Rava's, the Shekhana Rava seems much better, that maybe he's rejecting it is because he holds his deraisa and proving Tosa's point that it's seen as deraisa?
Oh, Rava's Lishna Basar certainly is because he assumes it's he's the
favorite. That's the reason. That's the reason. He's saying, no, it can't be a Ramilzi Damri because it's their rights, obviously.
Because, yes, but because the Pasuk has to be read that way. That's exactly what Rava's doing. Rava's saying, no, the Pasuk has to be. In the Lishna Basar, he says, no, the Pasuk must be Bigi Rusan. It makes no sense, Bigi Yusan. And therefore, Nesina is an Isidar Isha, and the fact that Yisrael Ptuadaka is Mutter in Nesina is a good raya that a Kohen Ptuadaka would be Mutter Megiris Mishachoros.
So, what do you mean by the Lisha Kama is a better reading in the Bryce?
Yeah, the Bryce, it doesn't make any sense if you hold like the Lishna Basar, really.
That's what the
Rambam said. What's that? Right. So, I still want another Sugya because as good as my Svara is in that Brysa, and I challenge anybody to come up with a better explanation of the Brysa, nonetheless, Rava does reject it. And one of the things that Lule de Mistapina, I would have said that the word Yisrael is missing from the Brysa. That's a gloss. I have no proof to that. I didn't check Kisveyad. That would solve at least half my problem.
It's not unheard of for the Rambam. You might say the Rambam might not. You said the Rambam would not like to take the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. But I have seen before where the Rambam will take the Havim and the Gemara and the Paskin almost, not necessarily from the Maskana.
That's a more complicated question of how the Rambam reads certain layers of the Gemara, or certain types of ukimtas in the Gemara, is the way I should say it. If you look at the Magen Mishnah and the Perek Yudal Hilchos Niske Mamon, that's the last Perek, on the issue of Tavon Ba'esh. It's a short Magen Mishnah where the Rambam seems to ignore the Sugya in the second Perek of Bava Kamma. The Magen Mishnah, it's like it's Yudalid, like Zayin or Ches or Tes or something like that, where the Rambam says that Tavon Ba'esh is Pater, and he leaves out a major ukipta the Gemara makes limiting that. So the Magen Mishnah says that Darkon Sherabenu was to ignore, is to paskin in favor of Pshutan Shomishnayas and Brysos and not in favor of certain kinds of ukimtos. So that is noted, but that's not because of the Yushalmi. That's an internal issue within the Sugya. I don't think that this furnishes an example where the Rambam would have passed like Lishna Kama. What's that?
Meaning you wouldn't want to say that he passed like Lishna Kama.
In other words, there are certain types of sugyas where the Rambam ignores what looks like is the possible maskana because it's very tortured, it's of an ukimta of nature. This doesn't fit that pattern. There's this sugya here happens not to fit the pattern.
Yeah, I've seen in a similar pattern, but like a question Rav Papa asked.
Okay, so again, all right, we could, in other words, I think that of the certain type of sugya, I think this is not similar. But I could be wrong. I think that there's another sugya, and so Daniel already spilled the beans on the Schlein, already spilled the beans, and we'll talk about it. We'll get there eventually, yes.
So based on Tosfos' presentation of Rashi,
yeah,
it seems like a Matzim can become a Meshuchar.
Firstly, his status would be the same anyway. He's a ger now, and you're calling him a mishachar. It doesn't change. What you should have said better is that but I'm not even sure this is a yichos change. The first sheet and tosis and yivamos and hinted to briefly rejecting subas is that that a nusin could become an eved mamish, which is really hard to conceive of.
Well, if he can be an eved mamish, then he can become a mishachar also.
Well, I know, but changing a nusin to mishachar is not changing anything. If a nusin is a ger and a mishachar have the exact same status. A ger and a meshachar, anyone a ger can marry, a meshachar can marry. Anyone a meshachar can marry, a ger can marry. Anyone.
Everyone
a
nusin can marry. What? So, according to Rashi.
Okay, but if it's drabbanon, if it's drabbanon, you're not really. I don't care on drabbanon level, on the raisa level. That was the point. You start out by saying, according to Rashi Shita.
Well, fine. Okay.
Right?
But
so I'm saying.
It relates to the categories anyway, so.
Okay.
For that Shita, which makes the Mishnah Kiddushin an additional puzzle. The Mishnah and Asar Yosin, presents all these. According to Professor's presentation of Rashi, those would not even all be the Raisa.
Forget, what do you mean?
Category of
Nusin Deraisa. Well, forget Tosas. Rashi, according to Rashi, Nusin is not a category. So, by the way, Shtuki and Asufi, the Pashtuses and the Gemara, also are not Deraisa.
Okay.
The Sveikos they come up with. So, anyway. Okay.
All right, so the Eben HaEzer Yisod, nothing will change categories, only applies to Deraisa categories. That's sort of
yeah.
Okay.
A person's core identity. The only question would be, again, I'm just talking about data perspective. We could talk about whether it's intrinsic or just that's the way it works out. The only question where this comes up is the Psuadaka Shaila, which is a question of what is the nature of what happens when a person comes up Psuadaka. That's all. The truth is, if you look at all the Surei Bia in the Torah, with the exception of Kahuna, meaning Grusha, Chalala Zona, none of those things, or Almana, none of those things, those are all things by definition that you get at birth. Right? Kohen Levi Yisrael, you get at birth. A Mamzer is based upon the Yitziras Havlad. A Nusin, you're born as a Nusin, you can't become one. A Meshuchvar and a Ger get their status at the time of their birth, which is their Gerus or their Shechur. And a Levi Atzduken is, those are Sveikas. Right? So almost definition, Ammoni and a Moavi, a Mitzri and a Domi, you're born that way. Right, most of them are born that way, and there's nothing that normally can change your status afterwards. Okay, Tzuadaka is the one question. Okay, so let's take a look now at the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches, Mishnah Ayin Ches Amid Beis. And who would like to read for me, Yadin? So what is the Mishnah? I know you're not learning Yivamos, so in the Mishnah Yivamos, so what are the Mishnah is talking about? What kind of Isur the Mishnah is talking about? Asur and Visur and Isur Olam? Asur Lavo B'Kal Hashem. That's the Isur. The context in Javamus which is appears are Isurei Erva and Isurei Bia. That's what it's all about. So, not all the Masechta. There's some very important topics in Javamus in the Mishnah that are not related to Yom Chalitza, like Puravu and Psule Yuchsin. Okay, so the Gemara now comments. Amar Rav Chana bar Ada.
Amar Rav Chana bar Ada. Yitzinim davi gadar alayim shenamar reikam elf and gibonim by Amar alayim and gibonim lo b'nei Yisrael
imo. Okay. Now, two questions here. Number one, one question, but two proofs. What did Gzera did David make? What was his Gzera? When they announced the Gzera, when the proclaimers proclaimed the Gzera, what was it that David prohibited according to the Gemara?
Unclear.
Not a trick question. What?
Oh, that sounds clear.
Daniel, Kasdan. That's the wrong answer. It's true, but that's not what I'm asking. Can you read the Gemara yourself?
I mean, you're going to say based on it has the same thing as also in the Mishnah.
It's very hard to read it otherwise. Number one and number two, there's something in the line itself that tells you. Which again, I know Rabbeinu Tam may address, but you have to realize. There's a reason why the Ramban is Docha Rabbeinu Tam, B'shtei Yadayim. Yeah, the other one, number one, the Mishnah says, they're Asur. And then someone comes along and says, David, Nesinim David Gazar Alayim. It's like, hello, Gazar Alayim what? The Mishnah's not talking about Avdus. This is not the Bava Basra here, that we're talking about property rights. We're talking about Isurei Kal. Number two, V'hagivonim lo b'mnei Yisrael Hema. Right? They're not from the Jews. I don't think that has anything to do with Avdus. There's no Avdus mentioned in the Psukim here. So it's very difficult. Rabbeinu Tam's position is very, very difficult to read in the Gemara. Now, Rabbeinu Tam was not a fool. He was not an unwise person. He was a pretty smart fellow. So obviously he had a reason for saying what he said. And the reason for saying what he said comes, methodologically speaking, in two flavors. What are the two different kinds of considerations Rabbeinu Tam has in forcing a reading of this Gemara, Danny? Contradiction with Gemara's answer, Gemara's elsewhere, which is the hallmark of the Tosafist's method. Remember that early Chachmei Svarad, the Rambam, and the Rif, and the Gaonim, what do they do when they find the steer between two sugyos? They pass like one or the other. I'm not saying always. I'm not saying they never are miyashe the two. The Balei HaTosos virtually never saw a sugya that they couldn't somehow resolve the two, except for when you have two Amoraim, what they call the Sugyos HaMischalfos, where the two Amoraim, whose names are reversed and saying the same thing, but in different people's mouths. So then there's a machlokes between the Sugyos who said what. But Kimat is hardly a sugyan shas, not never, that the Baalei HaTosas are not capable of finding a way of resolving the two. That was the innovation of the Baalei HaTosas. It worked its way into Sfarad only later does it start to have a major influence on the Ramban and the Ramban's Talmidim and so on. But the Rambam and the Rif, so their gut reaction probably to two sugyas that contradict each other and there's no obvious resolution is to say that it's a machlokas asugyos and you paskin like one or the other. That's why I said when we're looking to understand the Rambam's psak, that is sinam of the Rabbanim, what do you do with Lishna Basa Rava? The answer is go looking for another sugya that doesn't assume like the Lishna Basa Rava, rather assumes like the Lishna Kam. That is consideration number one of Rabbeinu Tam. What is the other consideration of Rabbeinu Tam? Why does he twist this reading that David was, what does Rabbeinu Tam say David was goes here? Avdus. Why does Rabbeinu Tam say that other than the other Sugis Daniel?
And is the end of that thing with Rabbi Bikshu
Lahatir? No, you're going far too far. If you just skip over the Agada and you get to the next line, Unasin and David Gazalem, Moshe Gazalem, Yeshua Gazalem, right? What Gzeira Yuchsin was there? What was Yeshua Gozer on them? Avadim. And working backwards, it's really a medrash. Mm-hmm. I forget if Rashi says this in Chumash. I forget where Chazal say this. That even in the days of Moshe, people in Chumash, people came to convert and they had the same status. Even though obviously they didn't trick them, right? They made them chotvei etzim meshovei mayim. We're going to read in not this Shabbos, not next Shabbos, but Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah. We'll read mechotvei etzecha v'atshovei meimecha. Now, by the way, I want to just make a general comment about preparing for Shir. One of you asked me wisely that I give you the Makoros like this so that you don't look at Rashi, so that you read the Gemara with a fresh set of eyes. And the answer is no. I always think you should read the Gemara without looking at Rashi until you need to look at Rashi, because Rashi, it took me a long time to understand this as a young Talmud, but Rashi was a Rishon, not a translator. And Rashi had a methodology to his seeming madness. And when Tosis asked Akasha and Rashi, you think that Rashi has been upslugged and he's out of the pocket. Rashi was a smart fellow. He knew what he was doing. He read the Gemara very carefully. He had a shita. You have to learn how to read Rashi. He's actually, in some ways, one of the hardest we've shown him to read, because he says his comments are always bahavla. But Rashi, so I don't give you this without Rashi, because I don't want you to look at Rashi. I give you that Rashi because of considerations of this week's parsha, lo sashchis es eitzah. Okay? So therefore, it would get very long and very hard to use. So if you have a small shas and you bring it in, it's a good thing. Or there are gemaras on the shelf of the base medrash. I give you the makoros this way, especially the ones that, you know, have peirushim on them, to make your life easier, because I know everybody's going to have it and you can bring it to Shir and that's great. But it's not because I don't want you to look at Rashi. Rashi was Nizhar from Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha on the continuation of the Sugya. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what prompted Rabbeinu Tam, or what at least gave Rabbeinu Tam a valid, you know, shot at pushing his Shita that Nesina was an Issa Daraisa, was also the continuation of the Sugya. Not only the Sugya and Ayin Vav, where Rava's Lishna Basu seems to treat Nesina as a Daraisa, but also the continuation of our sugya, which seems to shift the focus away from Yochsin into Avdus. Now, even before, to the extent that it does shift it into Avdus, Rabbeinu Tam had to understand his Zeta somehow. He had to understand what was Rashi doing. What did he think Rashi was doing? How did he think that Rashi read the continuation? Which, by the way, I don't think is how Rashi read the continuation. I think he's explicitly not reading it that way. But how does, and one of you think Zach pointed out to me, that Tosas quotes Rashi in a way that I don't think we have in our Rashi. Now, that's not a raya that it's not in Rashi. Somebody might have edited our Rashi. It's always one of those dangers. But when Tosas quotes Rashi in different than we have, probably Tosas has the correct Gerson Rashi. And someone changed our Rashi, often in face of Tosas' objections. So how did Rabbeinu Tam understand how Rashi understood the continuation of the Gemara? Yitzi?
That Gemara is explaining why he was also going to come to like
Ahal. The mechanism as such, which was, he made them into Avadim. By making them into Avadim, they were now no longer eligible to come into the Kahal. What's fascinating in Tosos is the discussion is whether that thing could work on a Doraisa level or not. It's a radical outlawing idea to say that you could turn someone who's already Yisrael Meshuchar into an Evet and actually have that status midoraisa. And Tosos ultimately, in our sugya, certainly our Tosos and Subas rejects that. And Yevamos, he seems to take it a little more seriously, which is a wild shita. You could have a lot of fun with that shita. Zach.
Did you suggest that Rashi does hold the Nesina as Dervon?
Rashi, I think, certainly holds Nisin as the Rabbanan.
Really?
Yeah.
Based off of Tosis's conscience. Just the fact that the way Tosis reads it.
No, it's not a question between Rashi. If Rashi says, if the simple reading of this sugya is the Rabbanan, Rashi says, in Ksubos, the David Gazar Alayim.
But he doesn't say.
Unless. No, but he's talking about, Rashi is not talking about Abdus here. He's talking about the Isser Kol, like a Mamzer's Asur B'Kol, Mamzeres, Nesina, so Rashi says, David Gazar Aleim. That Rashi holds its Rabbanon, I think there's no question. The only question Rashi is, what did Rashi see as the mechanism? Tosus insists that it came about by making them Avadim, so Midr Rabbanon, Pashtus is Midr Rabbanon, then now Asur B'Kol, because they're Avadim. I don't think, I don't see any way in Rashi to read that the Issur Nesina is a Daraisa. I don't see how you can say that. The Gemara, even Rabbeinu Tam, in order to accommodate Yeshita, has to read the Gemara that we just read 2 minutes ago, that Nesina and David Gazar Alayim Avdus. We're not talking about Yuchsin. And Rashi says, I think, Beferish. I think it's Beferish there.
He says that David was Gazar Avdus.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's what Rashi says. I chesam at base. Like given on Israel, hey, makloma inam in love. David Gazar Aleim to the siva given on Israel, hey, makloma inam in love. Bakal. That's not Avdus. That's Yisur Kol.
He says it later, but by
Big Shu
Rebbe.
No, he's. Oh,
that's why it's a little bit confusing.
One second. I don't see anything about that in Rashi later in the sugya. You have to find and show me. Rashi says what on the Mishnah Makos?
He says
Sina is Lotus. That's why you get Makos.
Okay, so can you explain to me Rashi Shita there? Okay, Rashi was not a Baal HaTosos. He was born a couple of generations too early. Rashi explains each sugya in its own terms. And he doesn't care. He is, in that sense, more like the Rif. And he doesn't care if there's a stira between two sugyas. Asking Akasha on Rashi from one sugya to another sugya, I know the Achronim go to town with this, but it's not really Akasha, because Rashi didn't care. Very rarely, you do it, I don't want to say never, very rarely does Rashi explicitly resolve two sugyas together and use another sugya as a raya in how to read the sugya he's working on. And while occasionally he may do that, for the most part, Rashi is not concerned with what the other sugya says, because Rashi is willing to accept the fact that there may be machlokas asugyos. So the fact that the Mishnah says lokan aleim, so Rashi says the simplest reading of that Mishnah in Makos is los ischatein pam. There you go.
Why would he write that if he totally disagrees with that?
Well, here's the point. That Mishnah implies that way. This sugya implies that it's Exerim and the Rabbanon. The answer is, you see, Rabba had two Lashonos. You see, there's already a Machlokas in Chazal, whether or not an Asina is an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanon. How Rashi paskins, I have no idea. The interest that, when Rashi, in our Mishnah, now, if I had to guess, by the way, that's not Akasha anyway. I think Rashi on the latter part of Makos is not Rashi. If I'm not mistaken, you got to check that. Don't bring that as a raya.
How ladder is the ladder?
I don't know. I thought Rashi the third parak is not Rashi, but I could be wrong. You know, my bikkia. I just don't know. I'm not sure. But there are places where we have the parish printed in the Gemara as Rashi. It's not actually Rashi. That's known. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. Like in Nazir, I think they believe it's the parish of his son-in-law, the Rivan, I think. And also Marcos, right. So, what's that? So maybe that's in the middle of the third parak, so that won't be an answer to the question. So what Rashi sees is the Maskana, I don't know. So Rashi could also still hold, even though there's a little bit of a stretch, even though he holds it, this is the Rabbanon, the Asmachta would be Los Ischatein Pam. That's all. He doesn't want to go into the details there. There are different ways of resolving it, but I'm happy just to say that Rashi perceives there is a machlokas, and he's explaining ish kapshuta. The reason why I'm inclined to think that Rashi holds it's the Rabbanon is because our Mishnah, which way would you have... Well, I guess it's not compelling. Which way would you have read our Mishnah? Is the Reis or the Rabbanon? In a vacuum, I would have read it, I think. The Reisa, because it's coupled with Mamzer, except that it's not a Raya. Makos, he has to read that way, because there it actually says Elu Hena Lokin. Whereas here, it's just Elu Sheshlem Knas. It doesn't matter whether it's a Psul the Reisa, Psul the Rabbanon. So maybe you can't even tell from which way, from Mishnah, which way Rashi
is. Is everyone in our Mishnah besides Nitina for sure Psul the
Reisa? What is our Mishnah? Well, in that short list, no. No, the way Tosus reads Kutis, it's not an Issa Daraisa. In fact, it's not even clear that the Tana of the Mishnah of Asar Yuchsin hold that there's an Issa at all by Kuti, even in the Rabbanon. There's a later Mishnah in the Perek. Rabbi Lazar, I don't know which one, says Kuti and Kutis are Asurim also because of some suffix of something, like an Asarim. We'll deal with that Sugya next. Yitzi. So Tosas sort of addresses that question. Rabbeinu Tam addresses that question by saying what? Any of you see Rabbeinu Tam yet? Some of you have seen it already. How does Rabbeinu Tam address your question?
He says, Shlema, there were probably other, Shlemas hanging around, no?
Wait, who were Jewish but also Lava Bakahol? No. That was the whole point. In other words, if they were Asur Bakahol, normally they're Yechidim. There are probably not too many of them. Look, I'm not married to that interpretation of Rashi. I'm happy to see in Rashi. Let me make an observation. The kasha that one of you pointed out, who asked the question about the continuation of the sugya, the David. Let's continue on in the sugya. Amati, your question. Sorry.
Just from before, were you asking for if Rashi ever said that you think that the mechanism is the button?
Yeah.
He says, I think it's. I forget what David is, but I haven't heard of it.
No, but he doesn't say, he doesn't explicitly describe this mechanism. In fact, I want to point to you, Adaraba.
What about the next one?
Okay, so, all right, so I would agree. So you want to say that that is sort of, okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah,
and then what's that?
See why you think Rashi was
using that. Rashi, see, I would tell you the following. Rashi's not telling you that because the gzera is that they make them avadim and therefore they're asurim. I want to talk about them. Let's read on in the Gemara, and then I'll explain what I think Rashi was doing there. Because Rashi well understood the kasha that his grandson was going to, anticipated that question and what Rabbeinu Tam potentially would do with it. So Rashi had to preempt that question. So yeah, didn't read on. The Agadah, by the way, is absolutely wonderful Agadah, and we could spend the day reading it and giving Musar about the treatment of the weaker elements of society and many, many other things in the Gemara as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful Agadah. It also tells you what the essence of being a Jew is. It's really a reminder of the Mishnah Avos that there are three midos that a Jew is supposed to embody, Baishanim, Rachmanim, Gomle, Chasadim, and that could be an hour and a half's introduction of Musar. So, but we don't have the time to do that right now. Perhaps maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. What? Maybe tomorrow at the end of this year. Okay. So anyone, so if you have finished all the Makoros and you haven't read that Gemara, you should go and read that Gemara. But anyway, so now the Gemara in big print continues.
Go ahead.
So the problem that jumps off the page immediately, and this is the issue that's driving the debate in the Mishnayim, is that aside from you have to know the Medrash about what happened in Moshe's time, Chotei Beitzecha V'Atshoei Memecha echoes Yoshua where they were made Avadim. So up until now you said David was Gozer to make them Sulei Kahal, but to ask them Bakal, V'agivonim lo b'nei Yisrael Hema. But now you turn around and say, Moshe Gazar Lehem, and then Yeshua Gazar Lehem, that's Avdus, that has nothing to do with Psulei Kahal. So Rashi says here, on Mechotei Beitzecha, Midikarinu lechotve eitzim be'anpayu, Shma mina lav bichlau Yisrael ninhu, v'lav bichlau gerim. Ella, something else. They're their own category. Now, what does the pasuk say? Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem alkechem, rashechem, shiftechem, zichnechem, mishotrechem, kol ish Yisrael. Help me continue here. Why am I? What's that? I can't hear. One voice. Tapchem nishechem, v'gerecha asher bekerem machanecha, mechote v'tzecha v'ad shoei memecha. Right? So you have everybody, including the gerecha, and then you have, I know it's not pshat, but it's the way the Gemara, Rashi reads the Gemara's reading, mechote v'tzecha v'ad shoei memecha. Now, Rashi, that's read as a separate group. So Rashi says, what do you mean? Why isn't that included in the list before? In tapchem nishechem, v'gerecha asher bekerem machanecha. Why not? So Rashi says, "Midkarinu lechotve etzim be'anpayu." He calls them out separately as a separate group. Shmamin ala bechla Yisrael ninhu v'la bechla gerim ela. Now, which means in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were already a different category, which proves to you that Moshe gazar aleihem. So it may very well be that the pattern they sort of fit is avadim. I'll grant you that. Because they are avadim, so that's a nice thing to call them. But the essence of the raya was not that Moshe was gozer aleihem avdus, but rather that in days of Moshe they were already outside the kahal; they weren't bichlal gercha. That's, I believe, what Rashi is doing here. Otherwise, he really didn't need to say anything. Right? That avoids Rabbeinu Tam's kasha. Rabbeinu Tam's kasha is how can the Gemara say after the David gozer aleihem, but Moshe gozer aleihem, Yeshua gozer aleihem? If David is talking about Yisrei Kahal, and Moshe and Yeshua would gozer avdus on them. So Rabbeinu Tam says, obviously, when we said David gozer aleihem, that was avdus also, because the Gemara is going to say Moshe's gzera was for his generation. Yeshua's gzera was only when there was a Beis HaMikdash. But David was gozer aleihem olamis, right? So presumably they all made the same gzera. So if we know that Moshe and Yeshua would gozer avdus, then David would gozer avdus. But Rashi, in effect, is demonstrating that it's not that necessarily Moshe was gozer avdus, but rather, they were already chutz lakahal in Moshe's time, and obviously Moshe was gozer aleihem. And then Yeshua is following the same pattern. Daniel.
In terms of the Gemara's answer, Moshe gozer lahamidara, what's the alternative? Meaning what?
He could have made a gzera that lasted longer.
On who?
On the Nesinim.
So you're assuming that this Gemara was talking about the same Nesinim that came during Yeshua's time? Meaning I had assumed it meant that
no, he could have been gozer on his Nesinim. And presumably, when Moshe was gozer on the Nesinim, presumably what he was gozer on is that, let's say, any of the Shiva'am who come and convert, we're not allowing them to marry into the Kahal. And you're
only because of their deception, not because of...
I know... Don't ask Kashas from Shat, please. There were no Nesinim in Moshe Rabbeinu's time anyway. Where did the seven nations? They knocked on the door and said, hi, you're in the desert, we'd like to join you there. You're asking me pshat? Come on, can't ask that kasha. Okay. Yes, Adin.
I know it's not how we've been reading Rashi at all until now, but is there a chance that Rashi is also making an argument that the Isser Nesinim is still right though, but it's that, I guess it's like, I think you mentioned I haven't seen the Ramban yet, but the Ramban
summarily rejects this possibility. Yes,
he's saying it's still right though, but it's not because of Lotit Chadibam, it's that Moshe or whoever it was supplants them as a real status of Eved.
So again, this goes to my point that I was making earlier in the Kohen's case. I don't think you can again, Tosus does seem to entertain this more seriously than Yevamos, but I think the notion that someone who is a Yisrael ben Chorin who now turns into an Eved mid oraisa in terms of yuchsin, that's very, very radical. It is odd to say. So you're right. You could say David gozer aleihem, and sometimes exerid rabbanon has an impact upon a din oraisa. I'll give you an example.
Expanding the category of eved to include these people.
No, I didn't like that way. You spoke of it as a true gushy there. Expanding the category. No. You'll see exactly the way I think. I'll give you an example of Xerid Rabbanon that has an impact on Raisa. Psule Eidus the Rabbanon. Let's say you're Psule Eidus mid the Rabbanon and you take a Shvua that you don't know Eidus for me to say that you could testify money. Two of you, right? So normally you take a Shvua Eidus when your testimony would save someone. So then we say that you're chayef to bring a special carbon, the carbon all of the Yorit for Shvua Eidus. But if you are Psule Eidus, your Midoraisa, you don't bring a carbon. You might bring a carbon for Shuas Vitu, but not for Shuas Eidus. Why? Because your testimony wouldn't help me, your Pasal Eidus. In other words, you only have a carbon on Shuas Eidus when your testimony would have actually benefited the person monetarily. If your Eidus was useless, then it doesn't count. Then you're not, you haven't violated Shuas Eidus because you weren't chayav to take it in the first place and you're not an Eid. What if you Pasal only Midrabanan? So the answer is you also don't bring a carbon. And it's not the Rabbanan made a takana b'shevi al tasa depati from a carbon. It's because since your pasul, bottom line, the base, they won't accept you. It doesn't matter if the reason they won't accept you is the rice of the Rabbanan. The bottom line is they won't accept you. By your swearing falsely about not knowing testimony, you're not costing me anything. So there's a case where the xerim of the Rabbanan has an impact on a deraisa level because of the mitzias. So if you're going to argue it, I would say that if a mitzias, they are turned into having avadim, so maybe that automatically has an impact upon their yichus. I'm not sure. I know, expanding the categories. Okay. It's a very radical notion. It's hard. I highly doubt that Rashi actually subscribes to that.
Easier. Like, as far as every Rashi reads simpler.
But then the Ikar is chaser from the Gemara, especially in David Gazar Alayim. David Gazar Alayim, there's no mention of Abdus. V'hagivonim lo b'nei Yisrael hema. Right? There's no remez to it whatsoever in the first part. There's no mention of Abdus by David in the story. None of it. So it's a very, very, it's a big leap. And it's such a, again, I looked at that Tosos and it was, wow, this is a really fascinating concept and turns everything we think about Yuchsin on its head a little bit, right? Call it expanding the categories, call it examining the Rabbanan and having an impact on this type of a Doraisa. That's like, wow. Normally when you have cases of Yuchsin, when you have someone who's a Mamzer mid Rabbanan, getting a Mamzer mid Rabbanan is to really be messed over. You know why? Because a Mamzer mid Rabbanan can't marry a Bas Yisrael, because he's a mamzer mid rabbanon. Can't marry a mamzeres because he's a mamzer mid rabbanon. Right? So basically, who can he marry? A mamzeres mid rabbanon. That's like a terrible situation. Maybe he can marry a gioris, because the gioris is mutter both the mamzer and an akasher. It doesn't matter what he is. Right? But the point is that it's a nightmare because you machu both stadim. So the idea that you turn that, if you just tell me that you would turn him into an evet and therefore make an iser derabbanan on him to marry a bekal, that I get. But to say that it changes his status, and the Rai said that's like a super wow chiddush. Okay, fine. So anyway, that I believe that's what Rashi and Dafayin Tess was nizah from. He wanted to avoid Rabbi Nutan's question. The transition to Yoshua Gazar emotion, Yoshua Gazar Lam. It's not that they would go there. It's not, the Gzera wasn't the Avdus, they were Avadim also, but the Gzera was that they're not part of the Kahal. And you see that because Chotei Beitzecha V'Atshoi Memecha is listed as a separate category than you and Gercha, Atem and Gercha, and then there's Chotei Beitzecha V'Atshoi Memecha. Pshat, of course, by the way, is Me Chotei Beitzecha V'Atshoi Memecha means, although it's a very funny expression anyway, because we would say from the king to the lowliest peasant. Here we say from the lowliest peasant to the lowlier peasant. That's what I mean. But I would say it is a very odd expression. But to the extent, whatever the idiom means, obviously we don't appreciate it, it means within all these categories of people, within you, the taf, the nashim, the rashaychem, shetechem, from highest to lowest, within those categories, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Articulated with a different type of idiom. That's all it is. But Rashi, and I think fairly so, reads it as Mechotei Beitzecha, and the Gemara, I think the Gemara is doing it, that there's another category of Chotei Beitzecha, Vachoei Memecha, separate from the list that came before. Yitzi.
Isn't that maybe what the comment is, that there's a category? It's not lowliest to lower, it's like...
Well, Chazal are reading it as they're, again, why did they read Chotei Beitzecha, Vachoei Memecha as these, as Nesinim? Because Yoshua, right? They're working backwards from Yoshua. So they see as a group of people, if you see people, Chot Ve'etzim and Shoave Mayim, so they are Gnesinim, because that's who they must be. So now it's a separate category, apparently. As Rishimon. I'm not telling you that's how I would have read the Pasuk. I certainly wouldn't have. That's not Pshat in the Pasuk, that's for sure. And again, the idea of Nesinim existing in the time of Moshe is also not Pshat.
But it does solve the odd language, because it's very strange.
No, but that doesn't solve the odd. In Yoshua, it's not mechot ve'etzim v'shovimayim. It's chot ve'etzim v'shovimayim, period. Right? In other words, he made them, you know, chot ve'etzim v'shovimayim. But mechot ve'etzecha, I didn't even look in the Pashtunim to see what Ibn Ezra or Rashbam might have to say in the Pasuk. It's an odd locution. Yes, Ezra Shimon.
How about Yoshua goes there for Zman
Shavetzim Yashkaya? Spell out your question. It's a good question.
Yeshua was not alive in the time that the Beis Hamikdash was around.
So you could answer the question, but then once again ask on it.
Mishkan.
The only question is, what's that?
Did David not have a Mishkan?
Now I understand why my Rebbe says that you have to first learn all the Shas. The problem is, in order to learn know all of Shas, first you have to learn all of Shas. It's always a circular problem. And if you ever learn, if you learn Megillah and Daf Yomi, you might know the answer to this question. Or if you learn Svachim, what? You get some of it there. You get a very nice presentation in the Mishnayos in the 14th and final parak of Svachim, the history of temples. Of licit temples amongst Jews, not illicit ones. The history of licit temples goes like this. In the Midbar, for the 40 years or the 39 years the Mishkan stood, that had the status of a mikdash. All karbanos had to be brought there. There was a machlokas whether or not you could even have basar taiv in the Midbar. Could you have chulin? When they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was not in full-scale operation. It was in Gilgal, but because it wasn't in a makom kavua, therefore the bamos were permitted. You could bring a karban anywhere you wanted. You didn't have to bring it in the Mishkan. You also, at that point, you could shat chulin and eat it. When they came to Shiloh, after the 14 years of Kibush and Chiluk, they built a Mishkan there, a permanent structure. The building was permanent. They had the Kalim of the Mishkan, according to Chazal. It had a roof of Urios. It wasn't a solid roof, kind of a hybrid. And it had the din of Mikdash for most purposes. That was called, in Sefer Dvarim, according to Chazal, El HaMenucha. Menucha was Shiloh. Then, when Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, and we're not told when Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, how do we know what was destroyed? What's that?
It says in Shmuel.
It does not say in Shmuel. So I heard Dovi utter words of wisdom there. He knows from Sefer Yirmiyahu. You also have in one of the retellings of history in Tehillim, Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Ohel Yosef Asher Ahav, or something like that, in one of like Ayin Zion, or one of those long retellings of Jewish history in Tehillim. When was it destroyed? We're not actually told. The standard interpretation, it was destroyed in Eli's time. When the Aron was taken, that's when... But it's not. We're not told that, actually. Eli is in Shiloh. Shortly thereafter, we don't hear about Shiloh anymore. Shiloh was like a mikdash. When it was destroyed, the heter bamos came back, and you could bring a karban in your backyard again. When the Mishkan floated... And where's the Mishkan after Shiloh, the temporary Mishkan? Nov and Givon, when Nov was destroyed... When Shaul wiped out Nov Ira Kohanim, then the Mishkan moved to Givon. That's where Shlomo brought his karbanos before the Mikdash was built. After the Beis HaMikdash was built, the standard rabbinic view you will encounter is that the bamos were Nesru once again. You can't bring a karban in your backyard. And once you came to the Mikdash, which was called Nachala, El HaMenucha Val Nachala, it was prohibited forever. Bamos are now Aser. That is not the only Shita that exists in Chazal. There is a Shita that even after when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that there was a Heter Bamos once again. That is not a Shita. Yes, there are three Shitas, whether Kedusha Rishona was Kitchel Shaita, Kishal Slava, or Kedusha Shnia was Kitchel Shaita, Kedusha Rishona was Kitchel Shaita, but Lo Las Lava, but Kedusha Shnia was Las Lava. And there's a third Shita, Rabbi Yosei, in Yevamos Pebeis, that Kedusha Shlishis Yesh Lahem as well. There needs to be a third Kedusha. So some say that may only be Eretz Israel, but some would say that's even on the Mikdash itself. Right. There's a famous Rambam. The Rambam says, I think, that when the Rambam paskins, Kedusha Rishona was temporary, was Batla, Kedusha Shnia was not Batla, but that's only, I think, Lagabe Eretz Yisrael. I think the Rambam says that Kedusha Mikdash, Shlomo's Kedusha was eternal because the Kedusha of the Mikdash was because of the Shechina, and Shechina lo betela. It's an unbelievable statement. Anyway, okay, so that's the answer to the questions that were asked somehow. About David. David, there was no the question of there being the question of whether it's a mikdash or not. So the answer would be that there was no Ezra Shimon's question is a good question. There was no mikdash in the 14 years that Yeshua was alive in Eretz Yisrael. It's only it seems from the standard presentation he died at the end of the 14 years and then Mishkan Shiloh was built. But one might say that he saw that it was coming and he did say Lebeis Hashem. Which could have meant for the temporary. So there's another way of going about this. You could say that it's lav dafka beis hamikdash. It means as long as there's an active temple or mishkan, which includes Gilgal, where Yeshua was, and includes Nov and Givon in the inter period between Shiloh and Bais Rishon. But whenever there's no beis hamikdash and no sacrifice, then the Givonim, there was no gzeirah. You could say it that way. So Yeshua was gozer for Zman. Moshe was gozer for Doro. Yeshua was gozer any generation. As long as there would be an active temple, and David was gozer olamis, even when there's no active temple. Yudi?
Yeah, I was just wondering if
only when there's a big reduction. What does that have to do with it?
Well, you would say, if you want to hear a little pshat in terms of the Gemara, why was Yeshua gozer aleihem yitzi? Or not yitzi, somebody here who was bugging Reb Shat Kasdan. Why was Yeshua gozer aleihem? Well, I shouldn't say that. They act deceptively. What did Yeshua decide to do with them? He decided to get use out of it. It wasn't stam just to punish them, to make use. So you know what? They would be the water drawers and the wood choppers for the temple. No temple, there's no need. He made his point. Why was David gozer aleihem?
They weren't Rachmanim.
Because they didn't have the characteristics of Jews. The Jews are supposed to have. So that doesn't matter whether it's a Beis HaMikdash or not. That would be the svar, I think, as to why. Yitzi? You had a question?
Yeah, no, I was just, my question was answered.
Okay. And Zach?
What does Mishum
Tosis mean? Tosis is saying that I think Tosis understands the mechanism of the Issid Rabbanan according to Rashi is they declare them to be Avadim, and once they're Avadim, they're also to marry. They can't marry in the Kol, they can't have marriage, so it's only Rabbanan, because Midaraisa, they're not Avadim.
Order because of some problem.
Mishum, I know. And by the way, when Yushalmi says Mishum Avdus, it doesn't mean to make them into Avadim. It means because of an Eved who was Nesariv amongst them, the way you're understanding. So it is a funny expression. I don't know if the Bavel used it. It may be under the influence of the Yushalmi that they borrow the expression, but you're right. It doesn't mean normally
isn't this supposed
to be a quote from Rashi? But do you see it in our Rashi?
No.
No. So, I think Tosis may be borrowing the language of the Yushalmi. I agree with you. I don't see it in Rashi either. I think he may be borrowing the language of the Yushalmi. That's all. But Mishum, when Tosis says Mishum Abdus, you might need it. What is the word Mishum? What is the normal Hebrew? Mishem. You look in the Eretz Yisrael Kisvayat of the Mishnah, you don't see the word Mishum. It's Mishem. So you can understand how Mishum gets to mean what it does, but the original name means Mishem Avdus, if you want. I'm engaged in a little drush here. What I said is grammatically correct, but Mishem Avdus, in other words, the underlying mechanism was, you know, I may be pushing it there. I suspect Tosus is just influenced by the language of the Yushalmi here. Does Tosus by this Mishum Chasnus also, does he use that expression? Right. But what you could say, by the way, if you want to leave the word Mishum intact, is that the Isser Chasnus is Mishum Avdus. Because they made them Avadim, the Rabbanan, therefore, you could say that's how Tosus understands Rashi.
It almost sounds like it was a Gezerah against Kahal in order so that they would be Avadim. It's really the other way around.
All right. Actually, it's Gozer Aleim Mishum Avdus. Let me just, I want to look at Tosus one more time. Is it now, it's on Ksubas also? That phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it just means because they made them Avadim, therefore. He's quoting, this is in Rashi you're talking about, right?
He's a parish recundus.
Man. Where? Which part of the Tosus you in?
The first line.
You could just read. He was good that they can't marry into the kol because they were avadim to rabbanon. That you could read as the normal mishum.
Because the gezeira was to make them avadim.
Yeah, Tosus. I think I said that in Rashi. I don't see that in Rashi, but Tosus says that in Rashi.
Okay. And he also is quoting it from the Gemara and Yerubas.
He's quoting what from Yavamas?
He says,
no, no, I understand. Kamirma Orel, as the Sugya suggests. It's not a verbatim quotation.
But does he want to say that even Rashi holds that the Sugya in Yavamas says that?
I think so. I don't think Rashi actually says that.
In Yavamas.
Alright, except for if you want to read on Mechotov Eitzecha that way, you can. I don't think Rashi actually formulates it this way. Okay. Fine. So now, let's go on in the Gemara Yadin in Yavamos. Okay. But Vakati Yeshua Gazar Alayim, you can't skip a step. Tachsiv. Right. So Ezra Shimon, no matter what, the pasuk does sound like he's making them for a temple which would have existed, right? So you say it's Mishkan in Gilgal, and then Shiloh. Okay, so the Gemara says.
Yeah.
In fact, I can actually prove that to you. I'll tell you why. How do you know that the Gavonim worked even when there was the interim Mishkan? Here you have to read the Agada. Because when did Shaul quote-unquote kill them? He ruined their Parnassah. When was that? That was in Nov. When he wiped out Nov Yerachanan, that was in the interim period. Yeah, then that's why the Kohanim were concentrated there. Yes. But the point is, it was Mishkan Nov, not a real Mishkan, that the Gavonim were still working then. So the same thing could be said for Yeshua's time. Okay, go ahead. Continue then. So Rebbe said, very nice, but it's nice that we want to mivater on our share. How are we going to mivater on the Mizbeach? We can't. There's another part that doesn't belong to us that we don't have the right to be mochel on. Okay, it sounds like the Nesinim. So here's the question, firstly. What did they want to be matir with the Nesinim? Bikshu lahatir Nesinim?
Either from their
Avdus or lavo bakohol.
Well, if we're going to make the argument that the beginning of the Sugya on Ayin Chet Amud Bet is because we're talking about Yuchsin, that we're talking about marriage there, so then we make
And that is Pshadir. You wouldn't use the word lahatir from Avdus. That's not the word you would use. It really sounds like they wanted to be matir to marry. That's what one, the simple reading of the Gemara. Yes, Zach?
Well, then, I'm mainly hearing about it at this point, but then why would Rebbe not, what do you mean, matir them because of the chelek they have in Mizbeach Hashem?
So the way Tosus would understand this for Rashi, the way we're reading the Sugya primarily, is that if the Gzeir of Nesinus it starts as Gzeir and Rabban Yishum Avdus, because they are Avadim, we therefore midrabanan because they are avadim. No, they're not ever kanani deraisa. Because they are mishubadim, we treat them like avadim. So in order to be matir nesinim lavo bakol, you have to do away with their eved status. So Rebbe said it's nice that we would be mevatar on any work they would do for us, but we can't be moch on what they owe the mikdash. As long as they're mechuyev to work for the mikdash, they're going to remain avadim midrabanan, and the gzera has to remain intact because you can't have any inconsistency.
Matir does mean from avdus.
No, matir means lavo bakol. The way you would be matir them lavo bakol is to dissolve the avdus. So this would be the better for at this point for Rashi. Maybe you want to say the mechanism would have been avdus. I would just say
that.
What's that?
That's what led me to say that.
All I would say is that if you want to avoid that, you could just say that they couldn't continue to be avadim and still be mutar lagamri bakol because it would be a tarte de sasre. You couldn't have full-fledged members of the Kahal still being enslaved to the Mikdash. And therefore, it's just because they're contradictory. And it's not that the mechanism, they want to be matir, the Gzerim and the Rabbanan that prohibit them marrying. But Rebbe's point was, you can't do that if you're going to leave them as Avadim, because that's contradictory.
But if they're not practically Avadim, like they wouldn't have been in Rebbe's time, why would he just say, the Rabbanan was matir them?
The answer is because then you're going to say, because you're pogam in Hektesh. Because Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and now their avdus is going to be forgotten. The claim will be you can't make them avadim anymore because they've already been freed, and so on and so forth. You can kvetch.
You have to kvetch
a little bit, yeah. I admit. Yes, Moshe.
Yeah, was it literally half of them were serving the nation, half of them were serving the Mikdash?
You know, it doesn't really. See, that's the difficult part. The difficult part was saying Bikshu Lahatir means from the avdus, and there's no Mikdash. I don't get the sense anywhere in Tanakh or in Chazal that the Nesinim were actually doing any service outside of the Mikdash. When he said Chalkenu Natir, I don't think it meant that they were Avadim Al Pipshat in the Gemara. That they were Avadim to the people and Avadim to the Mikdash. No, it means Chalkenu Natir, even if they were Avadim to us, we could be Mevater in that. We can't be Mevater, we can't be Pogam in the Mikdash is right. I understand, but Lemaisa, you don't see them at any time in Tanakh or in Chazal.
You can very easily read that they represent that by serving in the
Mizbeach. Well, you're representing the Eidah. Le'idah, you know, namely Mizbeach Hashem. In other words, when Bikshu Lahat and Nesin, they weren't this. I think we can assume as a historical fact, in Rebbe's time, if it were only Avdus, they weren't, the Nesinim weren't anybody's slaves. I don't think so. Because Bikshu Lahat and Nesinim, I'm not sure that the people wanted to be matir, you know, with the slave owners. Slave owners generally are not so inclined to free their slaves. It's not, you know, it's not, it's assumed not to be economically beneficial. It may or may not be true, but yes.
That would be the only way to do it.
What?
If that's what they were requesting, then that would be the only way to do it. I just don't matter to do something. Okay, anyway. I
agree. The Gemara, it's difficult. But Lahat, the Pshuto, just in the flow of the Gemara, they wanted to let them marry into the Kahal. So you can explain that however mechanism you want to explain that. That's fine. But I just find it hard to believe that they were actually, anybody was actually in the scene and were serving anybody.
Does Rashi's comment that the wish to be matir the Abadim is through the mechanism of Hefker based in Hefker, does that imply like a thing? Because if it's just that we treat them
So they think they were Meshubadim partially to the Mikdash. I think the point is, Rashi there is really a separate issue. And the question is, in other words, so I guess Rashi does sort of sound like
the Avadim.
Yeah, again, this they weren't. That's the problem. So he says that even he answers my question about the slave owners not wanting to free their slaves. His answer is that Beis Din could have done it anyway. Hefker Beis Din Hefker, but Chelak Mizbeach, you know, Miat here. Somehow Hefker Beis Din Hefker doesn't work on that. Tosus thinks it does. They just weren't supposed to use it.
It's a Torah.
Right. It has to be enough of a Torah.
But does that imply that if they're, what we're saying is that they're, we treat them like Avadim, but there's no actual halachic.
Midaraisa, they're not status. They don't have the status of Avadim.
I guess maybe because we're kind of, this seems to be a unique status. So I guess we could just say that the status of Nesidim, Hefker Reis and Hefker Reis, Rashi would still work.
The truth is, it is a problem because you can't have Midaraisa. No, Zerah Midrabanan was to treat them as property. Lamaisa. So based on, it's difficult. It's difficult. Okay, was there another question? So, yes, Mati.
I don't really get what Rebbe's problem is. If one thing is Derabanan, then another based in can overturn it.
Yeah, but the question is not whether they could or not, that's Tosa's point, but whether it's the right thing to do. That's what the issue is. In other words, that we Mata Rachel is one thing, but they were given to the Mikdash, and we might say that in Hektash Yotze Bilopidyon. True. Well, it's not. It wasn't a real hektish, but avadim can be hektish. You can mark the shavadim. I agree, but see, you could say the better kasha to ask for. Again, it's more of a kasha on Rashi is what hefker based in hefker is there here? Hefker based in hefker is usually to reassign money midaraisa that belongs to one person midaraisa. Here, it doesn't really belong to the midaraisa, so you can't have avdus. You can't have avdus on a Jew. A Jew is never has really. Really, a Jew is never gufo kanoi. Okay. Fine. So let's at least start now Tosfos. Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph. Thank you, Yadin. Who in the next 5 or 10 minutes is looking to be a brave soul? Adin. All right, now, for just one comment, Zach. You could, by the way, although I don't think that's what Tosfos means, you could read Tosfos as V'hayinu Mishum Avdus is not a quotation of Rashi, it's just explaining what he thinks Rashi Shita is. Perish Bekuntras the Davat Gazar Lehem Shalom Abakal. V'hayinu Tosfos says the reason that David was goat and the mechanism which he was goes here is Mishum Avdus.
Why would he say that?
Because he wants to understand when he says Kedamina Ba'arel, because the Gemara there, because the second part, Yoshua and Moshe and so on, that part suggests that there's an element of Avdus in it. It's not that it's Mochrach that that's what Rashi holds, but that's what Tosus thinks Rashi holds. If it's not a direct quote, it could be Tosus. I'd like to say it's Tosus Hezber Rashi because Rashi doesn't say it.
No, but that's all my point is that I think Tosus.
Fine. Well, Rashi doesn't say it. Okay. Continue. Ve'ein nira.
Ve'ein nira l'arbi yitam. The hamashma b'gemara d'rechina havya de'oraita. D'ka amar mamzer u'tina ika b'inayhu. L'man da'amar u'ya l'kaima v'kulei. Mashma d'havya de'oraita.
All right, so firstly, that's on the next Amud, where the Gemara says that the nafgamina is a mamzeres nesina. Whether or not Ru'uya Lekaima versus, let's say, someone with his no tefisas, there's Was that Ruya Lakan? What, I don't remember that. What was that compared to? It's in a discussion of how on Roy does it have to be. In other words, Ruya Lakan, in other words, what about Arayos? So anyway, but it's clear in that discussion, it sounds like it's Daraisa, because they argue about what to use a Miyur Rimsukim for, what should the Pasuk include or exclude. So when you want to include Nasin Amamzer, or Nasin Amamzeres, sounds like you're, it's a Din Daraisa. Okay, and then, Uvareish. Okay, whatever that Gemara is talking about, it's in Yevamos, about Yesh Mutaros Valeim, Vasuris Liv Meim, and so on. The Gemara says, at least literally, that Mamzer and Nasin are the Oraisa. Mamzer is the Sina the Oraisa. The Oud. That's probably the best raya, actually.
Why does he say that in our
mission? What's that?
That's a much better. That's the same raya you just say in our mission.
No, because our Mishnah just says that if you bought on an Arab Besula, Shola Rasa, who happens to be Pasul of a Bakahol, that you have to pay a Knas. But it could be that some of them are soon. What? I'm sorry?
Dumya de Kohinach. It's the same thing.
No, let me explain why. Firstly, in our Mishnah Behechreach, the answer is it doesn't matter whether you pasul. The Mishnah doesn't say whether the psul is the raisa or the rabbanon. The Mishnah says that you pay a knas in these cases. And the Mishnah could be listing psulim the raisa, psulim the rabbanon. But the Mishnah Malkus says ve'elu hein halokin. You only get Malkus for a din the raisa. We don't call Malkus Maritus, we don't call lokin. So we say makin, you know, makinos and Malkus Maritus. So therefore, when the Mishnah says Eilein Alokin, that means Daraisa. Eilein Arshe Shem Knas, it's a din Daraisa, but it's all these people have Knas that we might have thought otherwise. Sometimes we might have thought the Pasul Yichus Psulim Drabanan, and even if we accept Psulim Drabanan like Nesina, we might have thought to throw out Psulim Daraisa like Mamzeres. The Mishnah itself here is not talking, is not if the Mishnah here is taken literally, to the full extent, it doesn't really tell you whether or not Nesina is a psul daraisa or the rabbanon. But the Mishnah of Eluhein Halokin, that taken literally, absolutely would. Again, unless you claim that, as Tosus will suggest, Nasin is there, Agab Mamzer, that Mishnah read literally, Nasin must be an Issa daraisa. Because otherwise it wouldn't be Eluhein Halokin. Okay, so that's the difference. That's why I think Tosus gets to the last part. Mashma delaki alami daraisa dumi dechol hanach. Because it's talking about exactly that. Okay, the Chashivaso. So Mihu. So you could say that it's derech agav. Now, one of the things that Tosfos doesn't discuss here, but there is a famous example in that Mishnah. I think Tosfos in Yevamos talks about it more extensively. What other pair is there in the Mishnah where one is deraisa but one's only derabanan? Who is a kohen? There are four women the Mishnah lists a kohen hedyo would get malchus for. Who are they? Chalala, Zona, Grusha, and Chalutza. Chalutza, as I mentioned earlier, is a machlokas for Bikiva and the Chachamim. We assume that Chalutza is only Aser Midrabanan to a Kohen. A Chalutza is a Grusha Midrabanan. Therefore, if that one is, if we always teach, and they're always put together in the Mishnah, we often say Grusha v'Chalutza. So if Chalutza is Aga Grusha, then Nasin could be Aga Mamzer. So, what's that? It wouldn't be. Chalutza what?
Chalutza is Grusha Darabanan. Nasina, we have the same thing.
So I think it's Tosos, maybe in Yevamos, who says, one of the Bishonim objects on those grounds, who says that they're not similar, because Chalutza is correct. Exactly said. Chalutza is a kind of Grusha Darabanan, whereas Nasin and Mamzer are two totally different Yisurim. They're not related to each other, where you would say, a Nasin is a Mamzer Darabanan. No, Mamzer is a Mamzer, Nasin is Nasin. It might be Nasin is Darabanan, but they're not at all similar. Whereas Chalutza, which they would gozer on it because it's a Grusha Darabanan. In fact, Rabbi Akiva's Drasha, Grusha Meisha or something like that. I forget exactly what it's based upon. But according to Rabbi Akiva, Chalutza has the din of Grusha Medaraisa across Shas. It's all the places where, is a man allowed to marry the sister of his Chalutza? A man is not allowed to marry the sister of his Grusha while she's alive. If his Chalutza, the woman he did Chalitza with, is there an Isser of Achos Chalutza? So now that he did Chalitza to her, can he now marry her sister? Rabbi Akiva would say, I think it's an Issa Daraisa, and we hold it's only an Issa Darabanan. because he believes that chalutza is like a grusha for all purposes midaraisa. So that's what Danny's question. It's a good question. What is the answer to your question? Because for yuchsin purposes, the mold in which they poured the nas and the tzina, if it's drabanan, is in the mamzer mold. And therefore, correct, you're correct. And therefore, since once nas and mamzer go together in so many contexts, it's a shigur the lishna.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. So you could now, but Tosa says a very sharp point here. The chain tzarach lomar al karchach l'rava l'may desalka daitach ba'aro the begerusan leslo iser chasnos. Right? In other words, stop for a second. Rava rejected his first lashon. Why? Because he thought it was a ridiculous reading of the pasuk. But Tamal Atzmacha, Tosa says, what was Rava thinking in the first lashon about all those mishnayis that list nasim with mamzer? So obviously, Rava in the first lashon must have been thinking that nasin agav mamzer nakat, and so that's how he would have explained it. Lamaskana, he doesn't have to explain it that way. But that's what Tosa says, that you have to be able to give a teretz like that, because otherwise, what was Rava thinking in his first lashon? There is a phenomenal line of the Ramban. I'm going to stop here, but when you look at the Ramban, where is it? The Ramban's line at the end of the first paragraph in the small print. Vayim Tomar. It's the fourth line from the bottom. Look at that line in the Ramban. He addresses this question of Tosis in a different fashion. It's kind of funny almost, after you read the Ramban. All right, so you take a look at that. Tomorrow, we will resume reading. So this is the end, sort of the end of Tosis' presentation of Shitas Rashi. Tomorrow, we will resume with a Mikom HaKom in another Rabbeinu Tam. We will hopefully complete this Tosis and sort of complete this Inyan. If not, we may need a little time next week to finish up. Okay. What's that?